Chapter 134, The Road to Levenshire. We made poor time the next day, as Kryn and I were forced to lead the three horses and El besides. Luckily, the horses were well behaved, as edema-trained horses tend to be. If they had been as wayward-witted as the poor mayor's daughter, we might never have made it to Levenshire at all. Even so, the horses were almost more trouble than they were worth. The glossy roan in particular liked to wander off into the underbrush foraging. 3 times now I'd had to drag him out, and we were irritated with each other. I'd named him Burback for obvious reasons. The 4th time I had to pull him back onto the road, I seriously considered cutting him loose to save myself the trouble. I didn't, of course. A good horse is the same as money in your pocket, and it would be quicker to ride back to Severn than walk the whole way. Kryn and I did our best to keep El engaged in conversation as we walked. It seemed to help a bit, and by the time our noon meal came around, she seemed almost aware of what was going on around her. Almost. I had an idea as we were getting ready to set out again after lunch. I led our dappled gray mare over to where El stood. Her golden hair was one great tangle, and she was trying to run one of her hands through it while her eyes wandered around in a distracted way, as if she didn't quite understand where she was. "El?" She turned to look. "Have you met Greytail?" I gestured to the mare. A faint, confused shake of the head. "I need your help leading her. Have you led a horse before?" A nod. "She needs someone to take care of her. Can you do it?" Greytail looked at me with one large eye, as if to let me know she needed leading as much as I needed wheels to walk. But then she lowered her head a bit and nuzzled El in a motherly way. The girl reached out a hand to pet her nose almost automatically, then took the reins from me. "Do you think that's a good idea?" Kryn asked when I came back to pack the other horses. "Greytail is gentle as a lamb." "Just because El is witless as a sheep," Kryn said archly, "doesn't make them a good pairing." I cracked a smile at that. "We'll watch them close for an hour or so. If it doesn't work, it doesn't. But sometimes, the best help a person can find is helping someone else." Since I had slept poorly, I was twice weary today. My stomach was sour, and I felt gritty, like someone had sanded the 2 layers of my skin away. I was almost tempted to doze in the saddle, but I couldn't bring myself to ride while the girls walked. So I plodded along, leading my horse and nodding on my feet. But today, I couldn't fall into the comfortable half-sleep I tend to use when walking. I was plagued with thoughts of Aleg, wondering if he was still alive. I knew from my time in the Medica that the gut wound I'd given him was fatal. I also knew it was a slow death. Slow and painful. With proper care, it might be a full span of days before he died. Even alone in the middle of nowhere, he could live for days with such a wound. Not pleasant days. He would grow delirious with fever as the infection set in. Every movement would tear the wound open again. He couldn't walk on his hamstrung leg either. So if he wanted to move, he'd have to crawl. He would be cramped with hunger and burning with thirst by now. But not dead from thirst. No. I had left a full water skin nearby. I had laid it at his side before we left. Not out of kindness. Not to make his last hours more bearable. I had left it because I knew that with water, he would live longer, suffer more. Leaving him that water skin was the most terrible thing I'd ever done. And now that my anger had cooled to ashes, I regretted it. I wondered how much longer he would live because of it. A day? 2? Certainly no more than 2. I tried not to think of what those 2 days would be like. But even when I forced thoughts of Aleg from my mind, I had other demons to fight. I remembered bits and pieces of that night. The things the false troopers had said as I cut them down. The sounds my sword had made as it dug into them. The smell of their skin as I had branded them. I had killed 2 women. What would Vashet think of my actions? What would anyone think? Exhausted from worry and lack of sleep, my thoughts spun in these circles for the remainder of the day, I set up camp from force of habit and kept up a conversation with L through an effort of sheer will. The time for sleep came before I was ready, and I found myself rolled in my shade in the front of the girl's tent. I was dimly aware that Kryn had started giving me the same worried look she'd been giving L for the past 2 days. I lay wide-eyed for an hour before falling asleep, wondering about Aleg. When I slept, I dreamed of killing them. In my dream, I stalked the forest like grim death unwavering. But it was different this time. I killed Otto, his blood spattering my hands like hot grease. Then I killed Laren and Josh and Tim. They moaned and screamed, twisting on the ground. Their wounds were horrible, but I could not look away. Then the faces changed. I was killing Taren, the bearded ex-mercenary in my troop. Then I killed Trip. Then I was chasing Shandy through the forest, my sword naked in my hand. She was crying out, weeping in fear. When I finally caught her, she clutched at me, knocking me to the ground, burying her face in my chest, sobbing, "No, no, no," she begged. "No, no, no." I came awake. I lay on my back, terrified, and not knowing where my dream ended and the world began. After a brief moment, I realized the truth. Elle had crawled from the tent and lay curled against me, her face pressed against my chest, her hand grasping desperately at my arm.
"No, no," she choked out. "No, no, 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 no."
Her body shook with helpless sobs when she couldn't say it anymore. My shirt was wet with hot tears. My arm was bleeding where she clutched it. I made consoling noises and brushed at her hair with my hand. After a long while, she quieted and eventually fell into an exhausted sleep, still clinging tightly to my chest. I lay very still, not wanting to wake her by moving. My teeth were clenched. I thought of Aleg and Otto and all the rest. I remembered the blood and screaming and the smell of burning skin. I remembered it all and dreamed of worse things I could have done to them. I never had the nightmares again. Sometimes, I think of Aleg and I smile. We made it to Levenshire the next day. El had come to her senses, but remained quiet and withdrawn. Still, things went more quickly now, especially as the girls decided they had recovered enough to take turns riding Greytail. We covered 6 miles before we stopped at midday, with the girls becoming increasingly excited as they began to recognize parts of the countryside. The shape of hills in the distance, a crooked tree by the road. But as we grew closer to Levenshire, they grew quiet.
"It's just over the rise there," Kryn said, getting down off the roan. "You ride from here, El."
El looked from her, to me, to her feet. She shook her head. I watched them. "Are the two of you okay?"
"My father's going to kill me."
Kryn's voice was barely a whisper, her face full of serious fear. "Your father will be one of the happiest men in the world tonight," I said, then thought it best to be honest. "He might be angry, too, but that's only because he's been scared out of his mind for the last 8 days. Kryn seemed slightly reassured, but El burst out crying. Kryn put her arms around her, making gentle sounds.
"No one will marry me," El sobbed. "I was going to marry Jason Watterson and help him run his store. He won't marry me now. No one will."
I looked up to Kryn and saw the same fear reflected in her wet eyes. But Kryn's eyes were angry, while El's held nothing but despair. "Any man who thinks that way is a fool," I said, weighting my voice with all the conviction I could bring to bear. "And the two of you are too clever and too beautiful to be marrying fools." It seemed to calm El somewhat, her eyes turning up at me as if looking for something to believe. "It's the truth," I said. "And none of this was your fault. Make sure you remember that for these next couple days."
"I hate them,"
El spat, surprising me with her sudden rage.
"I hate men."
Her knuckles were white as she gripped Greytail's reins.
her face twisted into a mask of anger. Kryn put her arms around El, but when she looked at me, I saw the sentiment reflected quietly in her dark eyes. "You have every right to hate them," I said, feeling more anger and helplessness than ever before in my life. "But I'm a man, too. Not all of us are like that." We stayed there for a while, not more than a half mile from town. We had a drink of water and a small bite to settle our nerves, and then I took them home.